Right, it is good to be with you folks again today. I'd ask you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 2 Chronicles in chapter 17. 2 Chronicles in chapter 17 this morning. We have been looking at the life and the reign of King Jehoshaphat and the Sunday school hour, as well as in the morning service. In the evening service tonight, we will finish up the study in the life of King Jehoshaphat. But the life of King Jehoshaphat is just a small series inside of a larger one that the Lord has had me to develop on the life of the kings in the southern kingdom of Judah as they stood before God on behalf of their nation. And I believe that as Jesus Christ in Revelation 1:6 has made us kings and priests unto God in a spiritual sense, then likewise we as believers stand before God, stand in the presence of God on behalf of our nation as kings in a spiritual sense. We're not the rulers over this land, but we, in a sense, as believers, are to be an influence in the world in which God has placed us. We are to be a bright and shining light in the country in which God has placed us. And so as we come into the 2 Chronicles in chapter 17, we're coming to look at the life of King Jehoshaphat. This morning in the Sunday school hour, we looked at, you could say, the taint, the kink in his armor, and that of the tragedy of compromise that had happened in his life. But Jehoshaphat, as a man, as an individual, was indeed a godly individual that sought to live his life for the Lord and sought to have his nation live their lives for the Lord as well. And so he would use his influence as a king to make sure that the people were taught in the law of God so that the people could follow in the ways of God. And I believe that as we come here into 2 Chronicles chapter 17, as we consider the aspect of that of revival, and as I shared with you in the Sunday school morning hour, our heartbeat that God has given us as we go forth into evangelism is revived, to awaken, to reach a lost world through revived Christians. I believe that if we as believers would live the Christian life, would live in daily fellowship with the Lord God upon the principles of the Word of God, we could see a lost world awakened to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we want to pass that torch on for people living for the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to be able to be centered around the Word of God, centered around the truth of the Word of God, and make that central both in our lives and allow it to be such, pray that would be such, in the lives of those to come, the generations that would follow. In Jehoshaphat's life this morning, I believe we see an important lesson, and that is this: godly leaders training leaders to be godly. Godly leaders training others to be godly leaders. Look with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, "And Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents. And he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hael, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nathaniel, and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah, and Nathaniah, and Zebediah, and Asahel, and Shemiramath, and Johanathan, and Adonijah, and Tobijah, and Tobadonijah, Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram, priests. And they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Turn with me then to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 4. This is after his alliance that he has made with Ahab and going out to battle with him. He's received rebuke from the man of God. And then it says in verse 4 of chapter 19, "And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem. And he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, Take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, Thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. And behold, Amariah the chief priest is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebediah the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also the Levites shall be officers before you. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good." This morning we want to look at godly leaders training others to be godly leaders. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning though. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come into your house this morning. Lord, what a privilege it is to worship you, Lord, and do so in freedom, and we thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for Maranatha Baptist Church, for their hospitality, for the offer from Pastor Davidson to have us come and present our ministry, Lord. I pray that during this time that as we look into your word, Lord, that we would just have open ears, attentive hearts to hear what it is you would have for us today. Lord, help me to say nothing more or nothing less than that which you'd want me to say. Bless in our time together. Remove away any of the distractions that may distract us from hearing what it is you'd have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe in 2 Chronicles 17 and 2 Chronicles 19, the Bible is clear that Jehoshaphat was a godly leader who trained others to be godly leaders. The overarching tone to Jehoshaphat's life, though unfortunately dented with compromise, I believe and I see is one of commitment to God and investing God's truth into the people of his nation's lives as he sends out priests and Levites to go out and teach the book of the law of the Lord to the people in Judah, as he sets judges over the land and tells them to judge for the Lord and not for man. And I believe that if we in our day, in our age, are going to see truth prevail, then leaders, there needs to be leaders that need to be godly. And whilst there is a plethora of those in Christianity today, in our country today, washed up with the filth and compromise of the world, we as believers, we as kings in a spiritual sense, which Jesus Christ has made us, we as thereby leaders ought to be godly. And we ought to live godly lives. If we could but adapt this truth and train others to be those godly leaders, we could move forth in an effort of revival amongst Christians to the extent of a lost world being awakened to the gospel of Jesus Christ and having a nation once founded upon the Judeo-Christian heritage turn back to the Lord God. Here, Jehoshaphat was not content in keeping his relationship with God to himself. He saw what he had the power to do and wanted to utilize that influence so that his countrymen would have that same hope that was set in God that he himself personally experienced. I believe that Jehoshaphat took the heartbeat of what Asaph had set forth in Psalm 78, Asaph, who was a temple musician, contemporary with King David, and he had declared in Psalm 78, verse 7 and 8, that the generation to, sorry, it's verses 6 and 7, that the generation to come might know them even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. For what purpose? That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. The historical accounts of old that Asaph gives there in Psalm 78 is all centered around and climaxed in there in verse 7, where Asaph desires that his countrymen would have a hope that is set in God, a personal relationship with God through the promised coming of the Messiah that was yet future for the nation of Israel at that point in time. I believe that Jehoshaphat had this same heartbeat for his countrymen, for those over which he ruled in the land of Judah. And as we consider Jehoshaphat, we consider that we as Christians ought to be training others to be godly leaders. You say, well, how does it work with other Christians? How does it work with training them to be godly leaders? It begins with growth. In 2 Peter 3:18, Peter says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It's the realization, as Paul declared forth in 2 Corinthians 5:20, that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. It's a realization that as we live our lives, we would do so with character, that of in Exodus 18:21, where God had said to Moses, in electing leaders to be over the nation of Israel, moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people such that are able men, that fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. How do we train other leaders to be God, Christians to be godly leaders? It is that of these principles that have been laid down in the Word of God for us. How then does it work for a lost world? It begins with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Philippian jailer there in Acts chapter 16, what did he say to Paul and Silas as they had come in and said, do thyself no harm, we're all here. He said, what must I do to be saved? They saw the root, they saw what he needed. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Romans 1:16 declares that the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Christ changes lives. And Paul brings forth in Romans 5:1 that, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a peace with God. It's only because of the sacrifice and the work of Christ that he did on the cross of Calvary and shedding his blood for the sins of mankind that man can then be made whole with God. And if you are not here, if you're here today and do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's as simple as ABC. Admit you're a sinner, incapable of saving yourself. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again from the grave, and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not only will you have a restored relationship with God that had been broken by the fall, but you'll have a promise of a home in heaven for eternity. And as we go forth into the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the need of the lost world. When we meet that need, they become transformed with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can then train them to be godly leaders and to pass along the faith, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Godly leaders, training others to be godly leaders. How is it that a country once founded upon a Judeo-Christian heritage has drifted so far away from God, where now God is thrown out of every, seemingly every aspect of our society, of our culture, of our schools, in the courtrooms? How is it such, unless maybe perhaps somewhere between point A and point B, God's word was not the central focus in either delivering it to the next generation, or it was the next generation who did not accept the word of God that had been delivered to them? Let's make a resolve today that we will continue, that we will be godly leaders training others to be godly leaders. You say, what does it take to train others to be godly leaders? I want you to notice this morning just two simple truths in the life of Jehoshaphat that show us today what it means to be a godly leader that would train others to be godly leaders. The first truth I want you to look at this morning is this. To be a godly leader, you need to be anchored in God's word. To be a godly leader, you need to be anchored in God's word. Look at chapter 17, verse 4. The Bible says, Jehoshaphat sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. He sought to the Lord God. He sought to the Lord God of his father. Jehoshaphat, I believe, here made a clear choice for God. He made a clear choice to seek after God, to walk in his commandments, and not to go after the doings of Israel, who were following in the pattern of the sin of Jeroboam, who had made Israel to sin, and then even been following the pattern of Ahab, who had then taken Israel to new depths of wickedness. Israel in the north was not only a foe physically, there had been war between Jehoshaphat's father and the northern king Baasha of many of the years in which they reigned. They were not just a foe physically, they were also a foe spiritually. Because the kings of the north had set forth a sinful pattern that Jehoshaphat, as he comes into the south, as he comes to the throne, he makes the clear decision to follow the Lord God of Israel. He made a clear choice to be anchored in God's word, to choose God. He pursued then a pure environment towards God. He pursued a pure environment towards God. Look with me at verse 6. It says, the Bible says, his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. It is said of King Uzziah later on in the southern kings of Judah that Uzziah's heart was lifted up to his own destruction. Pride had infiltrated Uzziah's life. Here for Jehoshaphat, his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. He was an individual set upon God. He had severed himself from the lures of the world, I believe. He was set upon God because I believe he had a personal relationship with God. Look at verse 3. The Bible says in chapter 17, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. And then in verse 3, the Bible says he sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. I believe that Jehoshaphat made a personal relationship with God. And there then we see that his heart was set upon God, and he did that which the Lord wanted of him to do as he went out and he sent out Levites to teach the law of the Lord to those that were in the land of Judah. And if we would but set our own desires aside, set our own wants aside, and pursue God and pursue what he would want for our life, Psalms 37, verse 4 would become true of us. And with that it says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. There was a time in my life, quite a few years back, where I looked at this verse and I thought, well, if I delight myself in the Lord, the desires of my heart are what I want right now. So he's not going to give me the desires of my heart. So how does this work? When I delight myself in the Lord changes my desires as I pursue what he wants, and then he gives me the desires of my heart, because the desires of my heart are then to glorify and honor the Lord of glory. The hymn, that old hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Here was Jehoshaphat pursuing a pure environment towards the Lord. His heart being lifted up in the ways of the Lord is such because I believe he had a heart that was guarded by the word of God. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of it are the issues of life. And he was now thriving as it was being shaped by the word of God. There in chapter 17, verse 3, it says, he sought not unto Balaam. He walked not after the doings of Israel. In verse 6, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. Jehoshaphat recognized that there were idols in the land that were keeping the people from following after the Lord. And as a king, he wanted to do his part. He wanted to be an influence to encourage his people to come back to God, to have a relationship with God. Now, the fact that a people could be immersed in the Word of God is such because of a king that set his heart upon God and had his heart lifted up in the ways of the Lord. The priests went out and taught the law, book of the law of the Lord, out throughout Judah because Jehoshaphat asked of them to do that. He wanted them to do that because he already had the relationship himself with God and he wanted it to flow out to those around him, to those in his nation. The national immersion comes from an individual himself immersed. And from that well so deep, Jehoshaphat watered the nation, you could say. May I encourage you that let your well in God have such depths that you can take from that well and water others' lives. That you can take from that well and be an encouragement to others' lives as you're immersed within in the Word of God, as you anchor yourself in the Word of God. Then from that anchoring in the Word of God, you can train those others then to be godly leaders. Jehoshaphat made the clear choice to be in the Word of God and to pursue a pure environment for God, that it was such that what followed would only be natural to such a godly life anchored in God's word. Here was Jehoshaphat, made a clear choice. Here was Jehoshaphat, pursued a pure environment. And then Jehoshaphat receives a providential protection by God. A providential protection by God. Look at verse 10 in chapter 17, the Bible says, "And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat." So that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. As Jehoshaphat, you could say, sought first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, all these things were then added unto him. As Jehoshaphat pursued this pure environment for God, as he pursued this people to have a relationship with God, God made it such that the fear of the Lord would fall upon the surrounding nations that dwelt around Judah, that they didn't dare go up and fight against Judah because they knew that God was protecting the land of Judah. Putting God first in our lives is an act of mindset of placing God in charge. Lord, this is how you desire for me to live my life, and therefore I place you first, and I acknowledge you as in charge. I seek first your will, and I recognize that you'll take care of the rest of the things in my life as I seek you first and make you number one in my life. Jehoshaphat's life, friends, his life and his reign was so Godward focused, I believe, in his endeavor to teach the nation, his endeavor to remove idols out of the land, in his endeavor to prepare his heart to seek the Lord, to seek after the Lord, to make the clear decision for God that God protected him. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, the Bible says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." In Psalm 33:12, it is given of any nation, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." It goes on further in the verse to give it specifically to that of the nation of Israel. But I believe it is a universal blessing to any nation that would make the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, their God, that they would indeed be a blessed nation. And as a nation would seek after God, God would then give that divine protection to that nation. As even consider our nation once founded upon a Judeo-Christian heritage, founded upon the principles of the Word of God. We shared a little bit yesterday in the Vacation Bible School, God's hand in our American history and how God gave his protection in the early formation of our country because our nation was a country founded upon the principles of the Word of God by men of God who sought to live their lives even for the Lord. And what a great opportunity that we have been blessed with today, having come upon those shoulders, but now, so many years later, having drifted far away. But I believe there is this opportunity, there is this, you could say, stake in the ground that God places throughout the scripture, even in Jeremiah 18:8, the promise to any nation, if they would come back to him, God would repent of the evil that he had designed to do against them. And so that's why I believe it is necessary for us as believers to be training others to be godly leaders, anchoring ourselves in the Word of God. And as part of that, anchoring ourselves in the Word of God for ourselves, we then go out and train others to be godly leaders around us. You might look at chapter number 20 or be familiar with chapter number 20 and say, well, what happened in chapter number 20? Why was this battle there in chapter number 20 that Jehoshaphat had? We're going to look at that this evening, and it's going to be a very interesting historical account there. But I believe God would show forth his power for the nation of Judah even in that. And perhaps even during the compromise that he had with Ahab, perhaps God even used that as a testing point for Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah. We need to be training leaders to be godly leaders. To be a godly leader, you need to be anchored in the Word of God. To be a godly leader, you need to be invested in God's plan. And I know that as I speak this, it is, in a sense, speaking to the choir. Thankful for Maranatha Baptist Church and preaching forth the Word of God. Thank you for Ambassador Baptist College and holding to the Word of God and presenting the Word of God. I'm thankful for local churches that declare, that stand firmly upon the truth of the Word of God, and they are training others to be godly leaders. But this is just an encouragement to keep on keeping on as we see the need in our land for godly leaders, for Christians to be godly leaders, for Christian young men and young women to rise up in this next generation and to take on the torch and to share forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and be lights and testimonies and witnesses in our country today, wherever God happens to call you, either be of the pastorate, of evangelism, of missionary. If God calls you into the business world to be a godly businessman, if God calls you into politics to be a godly politician and to stand forth formally upon the principles of the Word of God. To be a godly leader, first, you need to be anchored in God's Word. But secondly and finally, to be a godly leader, you need to be invested in God's plan. You need to be invested in God's plan. God's plan is twofold. God's plan is two people. Firstly, God's plan is two people. We need to invest in them. Look at chapter 17, verse 9. It says, they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. The book of the law of the Lord was with them as they went out and taught, because it was the book of the law of the Lord that God desired that the nation of Judah be taught in, be immersed in. And Judah hears the word of God. The priests go out and teach the people. God desires his people to know his word. His people, the nation of Israel, was designed to be a missionary people. In Exodus 19, verse 6, we see their original intent. God had said of Israel, ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. But because of the incident with the golden calf, and then Moses says, who is on the Lord's side? And the Levites are the only one that turn out, that God would then focus that idea of the priesthood to the tribe of Levi. God originally, though, had designed them to be that kingdom of priests. God's intent for Israel is to be a missionary nation, because it was through them that the Messiah would come. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are designed by God to be a missionary people today. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. If you're lost, if you're unsaved, you have been given the way to God through the Word of God. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:15, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. God's plan is two people, so we ought to invest in them. Here in this account, we see Judah hears the word of God. We see leaders implementing the heart of God. Over in chapter 19, verse 6, it says, he said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment. Now, Jehoshaphat was invested in leaders to instill in them the heart of God. For God desires that leaders have the heart of God. If we were to have Jehoshaphat in our day and age, modernly day speaking, we would say he would make a great president for appointing godly judges throughout their land. As these were his instructions to the judges, that you judge for the Lord and you judge not for man. Exodus 18:21 is given of, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, and hating covetousness. And Jehoshaphat was intent on making it such that the judges that would be over the land would follow this pattern. It's amazing that even in the early goings of our country, in the early beginnings of our country, this indeed, Exodus 18:21, was even a principle that was laid forth for those who would hold public office, that they would be able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. But how far we have drifted today, and we like to point fingers at various places, but we ought to look inside of each of our own hearts and look inside of each of our own desires and say to the Lord, Lord, would you start a revival in my heart? Would you start a revival in my heart that I would have a daily fellowship with you, that I would continually have that daily fellowship where then it would ignite to those around me. And as it ignites to those around me, it becomes a local church united as a gospel flame in the lost community in which they are. And then a world is awakened to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you get enough people saved, when you get enough people turned to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to eventually have a nation filled with Christians. You can have a country turn back to God. We say, well, that's not realistic. But don't we serve the God of the impossible? It's our vision. Cannot God do something great even in our day? Same God that has done great things back in the pages of the Scripture, the same God that did great things back in the early goings of our nation, the early inception of our nation, he's still the same God today. And if we believe that it's possible, God could use us to bring about what could be a third great awakening in our land today. But are we willing? Are we willing to be used of God? Are we willing to allow God use us as vessels to reach the lost world? Here's God's plainness to people. Judah hears the word of God. Leaders implementing the heart of God and the world experiencing the fear of God. It says in verse 10 of chapter 17 that the fear of the Lord fell upon the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judah. God's plan to people is to make his glory known. Therefore, the world experiencing the fear of God is one way to bring people to the Lord. I'd give you a case in point when Israel went into Jericho to take it over. The spies went in and Rahab hid them. And she said that they had heard of what God had done for Israel. And Jericho's hearts were melted. But even through what God had done in crippling the greatest military might, the nation of Egypt, he used that to bring people to him, people such as Rahab. And now you look through the lineages and the genealogies of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Rahab is one even in that genealogy down through the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. God uses his power to bring people to him, like he did for the city of Nineveh. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. They didn't dig in their heels. They repented in sackcloth and ashes. The truth of Judah being providentially protected would invoke fear into the surrounding nations because those nations realize Judah is defended such because of who they are as a people reliant upon God. You know, it's interesting that America's early thriving was for the same reason. A land shaped by churches that were filled with the preaching of the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was this very fact that brought people to the awareness of God as Alec de Tocqueville came into the U.S. from France to see what their secrets of their greatness was. It was not, he said, until he went into the church and listened to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and hear it preach that he realized something, why America was free and France was still a slave. Because America was formed and shaped upon the principles of the Word of God. The plan to the world and leaders and to Judah was God's plan to people. To bring about the glory of God and the drawing of men to himself, we need to be invested in God's plan to people. And as we look at the current state of our land today, we recognize that the problem in our land, it's not an economic problem. It's not an academic problem. It's not a military problem. It's not a mental health crisis that we're experiencing today. It is a spiritual problem. It is a spiritual problem of people lost without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that is why we are seeing what state we are in today, because the world is lost, and then there are Christians who are just living for themselves and don't care about that. We need to be invested in God's plan. It's two people, but the second part of it is it's through you. It's two people, but it's through you. We need to invest in it. The verse 2 of Channels Only says, "Empty that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest, graciously with each command. Channels Only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour." Jehoshaphat comes, he invests deliberately in the nation. In verse 7 of chapter 17, he sent to the princess, even to them, and it says he sent them to teach in the cities of Judah. Jehoshaphat knew the who, the people, and the how through him of God's plan, and he was not passive about it. He was passionate in it. And as king, he spearheaded these programs to have teaching of the law of the Lord to the people of Judah, a judiciary system where the heart of God was relayed through the judges themselves. If we're ever going to be a godly leader, we need to make that conscious and deliberate effort to invest in people's lives. Sit down, ask the Lord, write down who it might be that God would have us to reach, to witness to disciple, to train them, to train others. And that it would come then from our heart, that it is already conveying the heart of God. Jehoshaphat did not say to the leaders, "Judge as it benefits my reign." He said, "Judge as it accurately relays the heart of God." Paul said something similar. He said in 1 Corinthians 1:11, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." As I follow Christ, then follow me. But be faithful to following Christ. Jehoshaphat recognized that God's plan was through him. He invested deliberately. He invested personally. Over in verse 4 of chapter 19, it says, "He went out again. He brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers." This again indicates the repetitiveness of making God's word centerpiece to the nation. And it reiterates what Jehoshaphat did personally in his land. He invested personally. God calls us in the same way, to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God's simple command to us today as Christians inside of local churches is to go, to be invested personally, not only deliberately, but also personally. And not only deliberately and personally, but also admonishingly. Jehoshaphat admonished them, "Ye judge for the Lord." He challenged them, "Be a godly judge. Be a godly judge." I'd heard it said not too long ago, any person will break for the right amount of money. Well, that ought never to be the case of a Christian. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God. There is no taking of gifts. We ought to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Jehoshaphat, those who would be leaders for God must be people of an integrity rooted in a relationship with God. Christians, we need to teach those whom we would train that they live for the Lord Jesus Christ and serve him only. Romans 6:18 says, "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." And we ought to, in loving admonishment, keep their feet to the fire. This is the nature even of the interworkings of the local church. There in Hebrews chapter 10:25, the Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." The Lord is holy. We ought to strive to live lives that is pleasing to the Lord. To what would this culminate? To be leaders serving the Lord, to be leaders anchored in the Word of God, to be leaders invested in God's plan to people and through ourselves individually, that we might see Christians revive, that we might see a lost world awaken, that we might see a country turn back to God. It's a big job, but it takes deliberate, it takes personal, it takes admonishing action on each one of our parts to the people around us, those whom God has set forth in the world of our influence. Jehoshaphat did it. We can, we must, we ought to do it as well. Friends, I believe that God gave us a life in the reign of King Jehoshaphat so that we could learn from and implement the essential practice in our lives amidst the nation on whose behalf we stand before God and in which we live today. And that is godly leaders training others to be godly leaders. Here's how it's done. To be a godly leader, we need to be anchored in God's word. To be a godly leader, we need to be invested in God's plan. God's plan is two people, and God's plan is through you. Now more than ever do believers in Christ Jesus need this heartbeat like Jehoshaphat had for God, for his nation 2,800 years ago. For a lost world is heading for hell, and the saved of our country are letting God's word slip through the cracks. So may I ask you, what keeps you from being a godly leader? What keeps you from training others to be a godly leader? Or it could be that you are, and praise the Lord and keep on keeping on in that which you're doing. But if you're here today and you aren't fitting inside of this role, may I beg of you to unload that sin baggage, to look into the heart of God and take deliberate and personal actions right now to be the godly leader who would train others to be godly leaders. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, then we'll have a time of invitation. The pianist will come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've been able to be in your house. We thank you for the life of King Jehoshaphat, a man who trained others to be godly leaders. And Lord, I pray that as we would consider this time, that Lord, you just work in each one of our hearts. For those who are here today that are godly leaders training others, Lord, thank you for that. And help them to keep on. For those who might be here today, someone might be here and say, I want to be that godly leader. Lord, may they make that decision right here and right now to be that godly leader. Lord, I ask that you do a work in our heart as only you can do. In Jesus' name.